You are now listening to the London International Christian Church podcast.
Service, and now we are back in the region. Amen. Before I go any further, let's pray. Father in heaven, thank you so much for the fact that we can be here to really hear your word, Father.
Thank you, God.
But I myself am here to hear your word.
Yes.
I'm not just here to administer the truth and to administer justice, but also to hear from you, Lord God.
Amen.
But I pray that you please speak to all of our hearts today.
Yeah.
I pray that we'll let go of every lukewarmness in our hearts. I pray we'll let go of every distraction in our hearts.
Yes.
Those of us in this room who have our hearts half here and half outside, please, Lord, help us to give our hearts fully to you.
Amen.
I pray that we don't leave here the same way we came, because that would have been a waste of our money.
Yeah.
That would have been a waste of our time.
Yeah.
I pray we'll leave here as changed men, Father.
Yeah.
I pray your word become powerfully today, that you move me aside, you speak to your people, and let your will be done today,
Amen.
Father.
Yeah, please, God.
Thank you so much, Lord, to use me. Thank you so much, Lord, for my life. Thank you for my life, Father. I'm so grateful. Such a wretched, sinful man, Father. But you still want to use me, and that blows me away, Father. And I pray, Lord God, that I can humble myself before you this morning.
Yes.
And that your word will come powerfully to your people.
Yes.
And it's in Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
Amen.
Family, I bring greetings from the Shafa Adeyomi tribe.
Oh, okay.
You know, we're getting bigger at home, you know. First of all, it was just my wife and I. Which is awesome.
Yeah.
And then God gave us tiny little Amaya.
Yeah.
And that tribe became just the three of us. Oh, that's so cozy. One child. And then last week, just before the end of the conference, you all know we gave birth to our wonderful little baby, Davina. Davina is a name that comes from my dad's name.
Oh.
My dad was called David Shafi Adeyemi. And I always wanted to name my child after my father. And so when Davina was born, Davina was like, what name should we give? Why don't we give her the female version of David?
Come on. Okay.
Because I know what it means to be loved.
Yeah.
Because the name David means beloved.
Yeah.
And our prayer was, God, if you give us a child, let our two children be best friends.
Yeah.
Let them really be loved by each other.
Yeah.
And so we give our child beloved.
Yeah.
To be cherished. For Amaya to cherish Davina, and Davina to cherish Amaya also.
Amen.
And you know, I'm so grateful.
Yeah.
I'm so grateful for you guys, everyone in this room today. Because you guys have been a great support. Great encouragement. My wife and I are so grateful to everyone here today.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you are even talking about Dana bringing the bread that my wife loves all the time.
Amen.
You know, all the sisters bringing food to take care of us. And I want to lift up one particular sister here today. Because when my wife was in such pain, and there was one sister that was there, right with us.
Oh, wow.
There, waiting for us to go so that she could take care of Amaya. And that was Ada.
Come on,
and she was there all through. And she didn't even know when we came back home, because we came back home the same night. It went so fast, in 3 hours, Sabrina was born.
Wow.
Which was a miracle, because the first pregnancy was almost 14 hours.
Wow.
First delivery. So 3 hours is like, oh my goodness, God exists. He really answers prayers. Jamie and I were praying in the park, like, oh God, please give us a safe delivery, a fast delivery, no complications. And in 3 hours, baby was born. It's like, whoa. And Vienna was back on her feet right away.
Yeah. Wow.
I was like, okay, baby, let's go home. And we were like, and I asked the midwife, can we go home? Yeah, of course we can go home.
Yeah.
Really? Oh, let's go home then.
Yeah.
And it was so amazing, and midwife came over the next morning just to check up on us. The GP came, and everything has been going smoothly. But I want to thank you guys for just praying for us and being there for us.
Amen.
Really
Amen.
And but I'm not here to preach about my baby.
Okay.
I'm here to preach the word of God to you guys. Amen?
Amen.
And you know, we've been reading the book of Samuel, right?
Yep. Yeah.
And what do we remember from the first chapter? That Hannah prayed year after yeah, you guys with me?
Yes.
Let's have interactive.
Yeah.
You know, year after
year.
You know, and year after year, I've been thinking, wow, we've been having the EMC year after year.
Oh.
We've had GLCs year after year. For those who know what EMC means, it means European Missions Conference.
Yep.
Where we gather together all the churches in Europe, and we plan and we pray, we sing the great speeches to encourage us to plant more churches to save this generation in Europe. And we have the Global Leadership Fund. That's like all the churches, 61 of them in the world, coming together to evangelize this world in one generation.
Amen. Come on, bro.
And we do this year after year after year after year. But the question is, what changes year after year? What has changed in our lives year after year? How is the life we live? Would you say today that you are living the greatest life?
Man, yeah.
Would you say my life is the greatest today? Because I'm a Christian. Would you say, wow, the life I used to live was greatest, but now it's great? Would you say, well, I really enjoyed my life before I became a disciple, those who are disciples here? Mm-hmm. Or, man, I'm really enjoying my life now.
Yeah.
My question for you is, are you living the greatest life? Mm. The title of my sermon is Christianity, the greatest life.
Come on.
Christianity, the greatest life. If you can, turn your Bible with me to 1 John chapter 2. Uh-huh. You know, I had a conversation with our newly baptized brother Tim Fry.
You know
what Tim Fry means? Fry means to be free.
Wow.
And so Tim, the free man, we had a conversation one day, and we talked about change. To effect change, you gotta be the change. To bring about change, you have to be the change also that must be. So in 1 John, we'll see how do we live the greatest life. 1 John 2, in verse 6. It says, whoever claims to live in him must live as Jesus lived. It doesn't say you must watch Jesus as he lived.
Okay. No.
It doesn't say you must talk about Jesus as he taught.
Wow.
It doesn't say you must listen to everything Jesus says alone. It says you must live as Jesus lived.
Wow.
To be honest with you guys, this is a pretty convicting scripture.
Yeah,
I don't know about you guys, but I'm like, I've got to do the same things Jesus did.
Yeah.
I got to live like Jesus? That's a high calling. I don't know about you guys, but that's challenging for me.
Yeah.
Who doesn't feel challenged by that scripture? Who anyone feels encouraged by that scripture? Oh, I thought it's the only honest one here. Anyone feel like, wow, that's a great life I want to live?
Amen.
Yeah. Anyone feel that way?
Yeah, sure.
Wow, you're the only other line in you, yeah. Because Jesus said, John says, wow, to live as Jesus lived. In all honesty, I'm not there yet. I'm not living as Jesus lived. I look at my life every day and I'm like, whoa, was my day like Jesus today? Absolutely not. Was my day yesterday like Jesus? Oh my goodness, no. But then how do we live like Jesus lived? Conference after conference. And I was wondering, what do I preach to you guys today? You know, you had the great conference and all these amazing sermons, greater invitation, greater humility, greater this, greater that. You were blown away by sermons. I was like, what do I not preach to you guys? What do I not? I mean, you guys know everything.
No.
Oh, well, you guys want to learn more?
Just
you want to learn more? Okay, just remind us. So I want to preach to you guys today about how to live this greatest life.
Come on, tell me what.
For you not just to have all those sermons come in, but that you really live the life to make it more practical, that you enjoy your life. Mm-hmm. I don't want Christianity is fun, guys.
Yeah.
It is fun. If it's not fun, that's an issue right there.
Yeah.
If it's not fun, that means you're living an Islamic life.
Oh. Wow.
If it's not fun, that means you're living a Buddhistic life. Just falling asleep every day. If it's not fun, that means you're living a scientific life. Right. Just having this knowledge, knowledge, and then you lose all your hair and you're wondering what happens. You guys are Christian. And we need to live the life like Jesus lived. So if you can, let's see then how do we do that. I got 3 points for you guys today. Points. My first point for you is Christians are compassionate workers.
Ooh.
If you're under compassion worship, that means we've got to help you to get there. Amen?
Amen. Mm-hmm.
Christians, point number two, are miracle workers. Point number three, Christians are spiritual athletic workers. Let's go to the first book of Matthew chapter 9. Matthew 9, you guys with me?
Yep.
When you get there, please give me a glory. Give God a glory.
Glory.
Matthew 9. Matthew 9.
Glory.
Matthew 9, we'll pick it up from verse 35. Glory.
Glory.
Everyone there?
Yeah.
Can I get a glory?
Glory.
Yeah, do it like you really love Jesus.
Glory.
Can I get a glory?
Glory.
Glory. Come on, guys. Amen. In verse 35, it says, Jesus went through all the towns and villages, teaching in their synagogues, proclaiming the good news of the kingdom and healing every disease and sickness. So if we're going to live like Jesus lives, that means we're going to go through every town. Right, guys?
Yeah.
And villages.
Yeah.
Teaching in the synagogues. Proclaiming the good news of what?
Kingdom.
Only good side is reading with me, guys. Preaching what? The good news of the kingdom. And healing every disease and sicknesses. When he saw the crowds, he had compassion on them.
Wow.
Because they were harassed and helpless, like sheep without shepherds. Then he said to his disciples, the harvest is plentiful, but what? The workers are few. Ask the Lord of the harvest, therefore, to send out workers into his harvest fields. And the church said,
amen.
Amen.
You know what's so powerful about this scripture? I've always read this scripture and always focused on the harvest benefit of workers are few.
Okay?
So that's the issue. We don't have enough workers. The issue is we don't have workers in the church. And what does Jesus do? He says, pray for it. And then what does he do? He sends them out. He says, I want you guys to pray about it, but you know what? You guys go do the work.
Wow.
He says, don't just pray about it. You do it. Just like Tim, when it was about that, he says, I'm just going to do it, guys. Amen?
Yeah.
I hope you guys have the ambition to just do it. And so after the EMC, I was reading this scripture and I was like, wow. What is Jesus? Why is he saying that they were harassed and helpless? And why does he compare them with sheep? Why does he say without a shepherd? Why is he going from town to town? You know, the Greek word for compassion, it means to be moved in your belly. To feel this, like you really feel sick by the situation that you see. You ever see someone almost dying on the street, something really catastrophic happened, and you're just about to really vomit? You moved in your very inner stomach. You're ill at the situation you see. And I ask myself the question, wow, we listen to so many sermons, but does that make us really feel in our hearts, in our bed, in there, about how helpless and harassed people are? Mm-hmm. But then I was like, but that doesn't really mean a lot, you know. Even if I feel that in my belly, how do I feel that? And if you understand what Jesus was saying, and you understand why he said he felt ill. It says harassed. The Greek word means skino, which means to be skinned. They were skinned. And they were helpless. They were thrown out. Jesus saw the people, the crowds, and he says, wow. It seems like these people are skinned alive and thrown out. That's how Jesus saw people. So how do you develop a compassionate heart to see things the way Jesus sees them?
Tell us, bro.
You know, who is fighting about Tim getting baptized? Oh.
Yeah.
You know what? Tim, before Tim got baptized, there was one day I was praying in the park alone. And I was praying. I was like, and I was just thinking about this guy. I was like, man, how much many people in this world are so tightened and constrained by the things of this world, that they're not able to live their life freely as Christians are meant to live. As I'm crying like, God, please change his heart. Change the hearts of people. And I felt like, wow, if I was in that position, I would be hurt also. And I believe that for us to save people, we need to be compassion workers. It's not just to teach people the Bible, but to be compassionate workers, to help people to heal. Help them to get rid of those diseases and illnesses that Satan has put in their lives. I got one practical challenge for you today. Find somebody to love. Yeah. Yeah. I'm really silent.
I'm with you, bro.
Come on. Find somebody. Somebody outside of this room to love.
Yeah.
That you will cry for this person. That you will get down on your knees for this person. You show compassion for this person. You feel like it is I had to die or this person lives. Because Jesus saw them and felt compassion. It's like, oh my goodness, the situation is bad. It's horrible. And when Jesus says, I'm the good shepherd, it means that he is the gate. And he says, the sheep are without shepherd. You are the shepherd. Who wants to be a shepherd here?
Yeah.
You are the shepherd that God is calling to lead people back to the narrow gate. So the sheep can. And that's Jesus. Amen?
Amen.
Are you guys with me?
Yeah.
Find somebody to love. That's simple, very simple. You can put it on your Facebook, I'm looking for someone to love. Put it on Instagram, hashtag, I'm looking for someone to love. Hashtag, I want to show you compassion. I've got a lot of compassion here for you guys. You want to come? You know, wear a shirt that says, I'm looking for someone to love. Because if you do that, you live like Jesus lived.
Yeah.
You guys with me?
Yeah.
Point number two.
Come on, bro.
Come on.
Who wants to live? Let's be honest, guys. Who wants to wake up each morning and know that you're going to do great things today?
Yeah.
Who wants to go to bed thinking, oh my goodness, that was a great day?
Yeah.
But how do you define greatness? How do you... How effective the result. That guy's been going to uni. But it is indeed true, though. How effective the result. How it makes you feel.
Yeah.
What about how many lives you've impacted?
Yeah.
That you go back home and you feel like, wow, I gave my heart today. I performed miracles in this person's life. His life is changing. You see his heart turning the other way around till it forms the right way again. Christianity is about performing miracles. Miracles in people's lives. Point number two. Christians are miracle workers.
Okay.
Let's go to the book of Mark. Are you guys with me?
Yeah.
Book of Mark. I don't want to overload you with all the other, you know, you guys have great sermons at EMC. I just want to help you to put it into practice.
Yes. Yeah.
And if you're falling asleep, I wonder if your heart is here. Mark 1. You know, it's so awesome. What does it take to perform miracles?
Right.
That's the main point of this. What does it take? So since you're a miracle worker, what does it take to perform miracles?
Tell us, bro.
Let's see Mark 1. Let's see how Jesus lived his life. And I just ask myself, how did Jesus live his life? Well, I love the book of Mark. It just goes right into the action. It doesn't give us any genealogies, any history, anything. No, like, let's get to work, guys. Let me just show you what's going on in Jesus' life. And in verse 16, the Bible says, as Jesus walked beside the Sea of Galilee, he saw Thomas, Simon, and his brother Andrew casting a net into the lake. For they were fishermen. And he says, come follow me, Jesus said, and I'll send you out to fish for people. At once they left their nets and followed him. Question. Do you think that before Jesus said this, do you think he knew that they would follow him? Because he didn't stop. They kept on walking. Because many are called, but few are chosen.
That's right.
Do you think Jesus knew that they would follow him?
He knew.
What did you say?
No, he chose. He just chose.
He chose.
He hoped.
Yeah,
faith.
Come on, man. Jesus walked by faith. Come follow me. That's it. Yeah, faith that would follow him. He didn't have any doubts in his heart. He knew, I'm going to change your life so you come follow me right now. He knew what he was doing. Question, do you know what you're doing? Do you know what you're doing? Do you know that you are a miracle worker? Do you know you wake up in the morning, you have your great quiet time, you're fired up? I hope you're fired up for your quiet time, guys. You're fired up, you're like, come follow me. I'm going to change your life. I'm going to change your life. And it's not about being a preacher. It's about being a disciple of Jesus.
Yeah.
It's not something glorious like, whoa, I lay my hands on you and you change. Ooh, I blow some hair on you. Oh, you transform. You know, the religious world has damned us. Yeah. And I was born religious. I was born religious. Into a religious family. And you see Christianity to be this kind of thing that you see one man performing great miracles and you just watch, oh, please touch me too. Touch me too. My forehead here. Bring that anointed oil. Put it on my forehead also. It's so crazy. But if the Bible says we'll live as Jesus lived, that means you also get to do the same things he did.
Yeah.
You get to walk with power and faith and deep conviction. Mm-hmm. And you change people's lives. Yeah. Performing miracles says, leave that fish behind. Leave that net behind. Leave that job. Leave everything behind. Come, follow me. Mm-hmm. That's pretty scary. Because Jesus wants to change your life. And what is my main point here is that Jesus performed miracles all the day of his life. Constantly teaching people. If you can see in Mark 1 there, just, you know, when I became a disciple, I was so amazed by this scripture. But for the first time after 2.5 years, I didn't really understand it. In Mark 1, in verse 21, he says, he went into the synagogue and began to teach. It's one day. In verse 22, it says, he taught them as one who had authority. In verse 25, he says, be quiet. Woo! Be quiet. In verse 27, it says, he even gives others to impure spirits and they obey him. Woo! In verse 31, it says, he went to her, took her by the hand, and held her up. I don't know if you guys, do you guys love Jesus or not?
Amen. Yeah.
Man, Jesus Christ is cranky.
Yeah.
This is amazing. And it says in verse 34, and Jesus healed many who had various diseases. So he didn't say, this is my specialty. He said, he didn't say, no, you know, I was trained to do a heart and brain surgery alone. I don't do, you know, leg diseases or arms or leprosy. I only do the heart and the brain.
Amen.
It says every disease. Driving out demons. Question is, do you battle demons? What's the issue? And I'm talking about something glorious, like, you know, Pentecostalism, Holy Spirit, Now, I'm talking about just really being a disciple of Jesus. Because the Bible is true, guys. You guys believe the Bible?
Yes.
It says you do the same thing.
Yeah, that's true.
So unless the Bible is wrong and you're right, or you're wrong and the Bible is right, which one? Which one, guys? Just let me check.
Bible's
always right, right? What does it say here? Where is it? What does it want to say? You guys can't read it?
Yeah.
That means the Bible speaks, right?
Yeah. Shut up and do it.
Just do it.
Come on, Jerry. But it says in verse 38, Jesus replied, let us go somewhere to the nearby another village. I can preach there also. And he got up early in the morning to go pray. Because he knew, like, I gotta get another faith for another day again to keep going.
Yeah.
You know, my wife and I, when we found out that we're gonna have a baby, we were like excited. Oh man, gonna have a baby. That was 9 months ago. And we went for the scan, first scan. It's always a glorious moment. You go like, wow, I'm gonna see my baby for the first time. And in my religious mind, I was thinking, well, is this really Christian life? Do you see a scan like, and I'm being too religious, guys, forgive me. And I'm like, and I go for the scan, and it's amazing. And in that scan, they tell us, there seems to be something for the baby. So there are some fluids at the back of the neck of the baby. Some of you know the story already. And there's some fluids around the belly. And my wife and I just started crying. And I was like, oh my goodness. This is not right. This is not right. And we went across the hospital in the cafe and just been like crying, and breakfast, and crying, same time at breakfast and crying. And I was like, this is not right. And I had a deep time with Michael and Michelle. Michael's like, no, never, like, never accept that things happen because of what you've done. Because I was sort of condemning myself. I said, oh, this is the evil that I've done that God is going to punish me. Michael said, no! He said, God disciplines those he loves. God is loving you. He's always trying to see what you're going to do. And I changed my mind. I was like, I'm going to go and pray. And I went to pray and I said, God! You are a God who is perfect. Since you were made in your image, that means our child must be like you. That means, since you're perfect, there is no blood around your belly, there's no blood around your neck. Give us a child that is perfect, God.
Amen.
And I prayed, God, please do this. The next day, my scan, gone.
Boom.
I was like, whoa. God has answered prayers.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You see, to get miracles, it takes faith.
Yeah.
The religious world tells you miracles give you faith. The word of God gives you faith.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And without faith, you can perform miracles. You guys with me?
Yes.
Faith is what makes miracles, guys. So when there's lack of miracles, what's the issue, guys?
Lack
of faith. When it's like a miracle in your own life, what's the issue?
Faith. Lack of faith.
Yeah.
Let's go to the book of Mark 9.
Come on.
Let's show you now what's the issue. Take one more deeply.
Okay.
You guys with me?
Yeah.
Please don't
yeah.
fall asleep on me.
No, no.
Mark 9, in verse 14. Let's pick it up from verse 17. Let's look at the boy who is healed by Jesus. It says in verse 17, a man in the crowd answered, teacher, I brought you my son who is possessed by spirit that has robbed him of speech. I hope you guys are talking normally today. Amen.
Yeah.
Whenever it seizes him, it throws him to the ground. He foams at the mouth, gnashes his teeth, and becomes rigid. I asked the disciples to drive out the spirit, but they could not. Woo! You guys are disciples of Jesus, right?
Yeah.
So what's the issue then? You unbelieving generation! Jesus replied, how long shall I stay with you? How long shall I put up with you? Bring that boy to me. The Greek word for unbelief is faithless. Miracles come from faith. Faith. And so if you want to live like Jesus lived, I got a simple challenge for you guys today. Go back to the first EMC in 2016. Not the first, that was my first, but that was my first. But EMC 2016, what was the theme of EMC 2016?
Living by faith.
Living by faith. I hope you've not forgotten that. I love the way God works. He says, guys, you gotta live by faith. And then you can conquer kingdoms. And then when you conquer kingdoms, you can even do greater things than that.
Yeah.
Everything that God has, everything you guys are experiencing right now, it is not by chance. God has made this happen so that you will learn the lesson that you need to live by faith.
Yeah.
challenge for you. Live by faith. Live by faith. Go by faith. Go make disciples by faith. Save people by faith. Teach them to obey by faith. Baptize by faith. You guys with me?
Yeah.
Amen.
Yeah.
You know, I love what Rahul taught us at the EMC. He said, you need to pray for what you're seeing. You see it happen already. You see that that man's life will be changed. Pray for that point. That's what you're praying for. You need to pray with vision.
Yeah.
Pray with vision. Because you have faith. You go to God by faith. And you see things happen in your life. You guys with me?
Yeah.
In closing, my third and final point. Christians are spiritual athletic workers. Who likes running? Only three people. Four? Four? Hey, running? Mo is like, I like running also. Mo, please don't run. Relax. But do you ever see Christianity as a race? You know, but what kind of race? Are you partaking in the race or are you watching the race?
Wow.
Are you a spectator or a contender? Are you a spectator or a participator? The religious world makes you think like, whoa, I'm a Christian when I go to church and I see everything going on. I'm a Christian, I go to church and I see all the miracles happening. And I see people changing, oh, people are doing, oh, man, whew. The experience makes me a Christian. No, 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 no. Living the life of a true disciple makes you a Christian. You guys with me?
Yeah.
So let's see then, how do we really become that those spiritual athletic guys with six packs of spiritual reality, you know, muscles and abs and, you know, biceps and calves and everything, you know, that you really feel like I'm spiritually an athlete right there. How do you do that? You guys want to know?
Yeah. Tell us first.
Are you sure?
Yes.
When I tell you, you have to do it also.
Yeah.
Yeah, are you sure?
Tell us.
Adeline is doubting. So since we're a unity in the army, when someone is not there, we will not do it. An army does it together, guys.
Yes.
So, are you guys ready to hear it?
Yes.
1 Corinthians 9. You know, I went to military school, for those who know, some of you don't know. And I went to military school, and I love running. But when I must tell you guys now I love running. But when I was 13 and 14, I hated running. Why? Because I had asthma. And I used to be challenged and pushed to run. And I used to be this guy at the back. Constantly at the back there. And we used to do cross country. You know what a cross country is?
Yeah.
That's far! That's long! It's long!
Nigeria's
gone. And it was long. But I kept going. I kept going. People passed me by. Amen. People saw me sitting down there. Amen. I kept going. So the point that I did a half marathon myself 3 years ago.
Come on, bro.
And how did I do that? 1 Corinthians 9.
Hey.
Verse 24. I'm sure you guys love discipline, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. Christo is like, absolutely. You know. In 1 Corinthians 9, verse 24, it says, do you not know that in a race all the runners walk?
No.
Do you not know that in a race all the runners sit down and do nothing?
No.
Do you not know that in a race all the runners sleep on their mattresses and do nothing?
No.
No, they run. But only one gets the prize. Uh-oh. Run in such a way as to get the prize. Everyone who competes in the game goes into
strict training.
Who loves strict training? Even the word strict makes it already challenging. Strict. I had a very strict dad. I had a very strict upbringing. And at that time I was like, I hate this. And now I'm like, oh, thank you God. I'm not a spoiled child.
Yeah.
They do it to get a crown. That will not last. But we do it to get a crown that lasts forever. Isn't that amazing? Therefore, I do not run like someone running aimlessly. I do not fight like a boxer beating the air. No, I strike a blow to my body. Guys, put your right hand up. fist and get a fist. No, punch yourself in the face.
Oh.
No, I'm just joking. So I can blow to my body and make it a slave so that I have reached, after I have preached to others, I myself will not be disqualified for the prize. You guys with me?
Yeah.
Being a disciple is being like an athlete. Who likes sports? Who likes watching sports? Sports. Who likes partaking in sports?
Yeah.
Let's not be spectators, guys.
Yeah.
Let's be partakers in the sport.
Amen.
Jesus says, live like I did. Don't just watch me do what I did. Live like him. But he says you have to undergo strict training. Strict training. So how do we train ourselves? Let's go to 2 Timothy 2. Bring it to a close right here. 2 Timothy 2. In verse 3. This scripture is not really encouraging, but I hope it is. They're pretty shocked. They're like, oh man, it's like the bread and butter. Please give it to me more and more. But in verse 3, it says, join me in suffering. Whoa. Like a soldier of Christ. Any soldiers in the house?
Oh, yeah.
No one serving as a soldier gets entangled in civilian affairs, but rather tries to please his commanding officer. Who is your commanding officer?
Jesus.
So you guys want to please Jesus?
Yes.
And do what he says. Similarly, anyone who competes as an what? Athlete. Does not receive the victor's crown except by competing according to the rules. The hardworking farmer should be the first to receive a share of the crops. And we know Jesus says the harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few. Why? Because only a few workers go by the rules. Only a few workers have trained themselves strictly to really get the harvest. Question. Are you competing according to the rules? What are the rules? The very thing you hold in your hand. Doing what the Bible says. Those of us who know the first principles. Can you teach someone the first principles on your own from the first contact to salvation? Because if you don't, that means you would still need to be trained. But do I need to train you? Everyone's you're afraid to answer that question. Let's see how you get trained. Let's see how you get trained. 2 Timothy. Sorry, 1 Timothy 4. Let's go there. 1 Timothy 4. How do you get trained? 1 Timothy 4. In verse 7. It says, totally spend time wasting your life on godless myths and old wives' tales.
Oh, yeah.
Because that's a life that is the greatest life ever.
No.
Rather, don't train yourself to do anything alive. Just sit down on your bed and waste your life away. And that's an awesome life, right? Now, God says, have nothing to do with godless myths. That religiosity, get rid of it in your life. All the things on the internet, get rid of it. Old wives' tales, what your mom told you, all this, get rid of it. Focus on what the Bible says. Rather, train yourself to be godly. You gotta do it yourself. The gate is narrow. Narrow is the gate that leads to eternal life. We can take you there. It's up to you to enter. And when you get in, you better train yourself to keep going. Because Jesus is at the end of it, not at the beginning there. Fix your eyes on Jesus. That's what Hebrews 12 says. Not on any other person. And so in closing, you might wonder, why am I saying all these things? In 2 Timothy chapter 4, the Apostle Paul says in verse 7, I have fought the good fight. I have finished the race. I have kept the faith. The race goes to the very last day you die. And the life you live is the life of Christ Jesus. Let that life be pleasing to Jesus when he meets you and say, you know what? Yep, Crystal, he fought the good fight, ran the race fully, and he's kept the faith. Tim, he did a great thing. He fought the good fight, finished the race, and he's kept the faith. Dana, she fought the good fight. She's so lovely and so cute, but she finished the race. Yeah. And she just kept the faith.
Yeah.
Adeline, she fought the good fight. Come she on, finished the race and she kept the faith.
Amen.
Come on, Adeline.
Stop spectating. Mm. Stop looking at three different people.
Right.
Mm. Fix your eyes on Jesus. Yeah. And take people along with you as you go to Jesus. Yeah. Be an Andrew who brought people to Jesus. At the end of the day, God will judge your life.
Yeah.
And say, wow. Okay, so I, Jesus, saved the world. What did you do? Did you live like I lived? Such a perfect example. I'm not your physical father who messed up. I'm not your physical mother who messed up. I'm your Lord and Savior who laid down my life for you. Stop watching others achieve the greatest life. Start achieving the greatest life. Get into harvest field. Work compassionately. Work miracles. Work athletically like you're a race. You're running. Hannah prayed year after year. And as she prayed, she made a vow. After the vow, the miracle came. When was the last vow you made to God? I pray that today you've been shown how to live the greatest life. Because the greatest life is changing lives and saving lives. Amen. To God be all the glory.
Amen.
We would like to thank you for listening to that episode of the podcast. If you would like video versions of these episodes, whether it's sermon highlights or interviews, feel free to check us out on our website or view them on our YouTube channel. That's londonchurch.org.uk. That's londonchurch.org.uk. And for all other updates and information, whether it's services, events, or devotionals, you can find all that on our website also. Once again, we'd like to thank you for listening, and we'll catch you on the next one.